I was thinking about the messages that we received when Brother Bronk was here. And, of course, we all know the phrases in our minds right now. This is that. This is that. Okay? And so I got to thinking about that a little bit. And I got to thinking about, why aren't more of us that? Why aren't more of us that? Okay? And so I can remember when I was growing up, there were some men that I set on a pedestal. Oral Roberts, Billy Graham. I set these men on a pedestal. Because I can remember when I was young, they had their television programs, and you could write in and get, you know, their little booklets and things like that. And I would always write in and get Oral Roberts' books, Billy Graham's books, wait patiently by the mailbox until they came in. And when they came in, I devoured them. And I can remember the first one from Billy Graham that I got was Peace with God. And I can remember that. And I looked at Billy Graham and I looked at Oral Roberts and I said, you know, I would love to be like them, but I know God's hand is not on me like it's on them. And so, and I'm sure none of you ever thought that at all. I'm the only one who ever thought that at all. And that's okay. I can live with that. And as I grew up, nothing happened in my life in the church to tell me anything different. Nothing. And so I grew up all my life thinking that there are certain men and women God has picked out and designated to do great things. And then the rest of us, we are just here to benefit from their anointing. Okay? Well, needless to say, Pastor Bronk changed some of that last week. He changed some of that last week. And it got me to thinking more and more about something else, too. And I'm going to hit on it a little bit more as I get into the message. Remember when Brother Bronk and Sister Candy were here last week? There was an air. There was an excitement. There was an expectancy. Okay? That something marvelous, something good was going to happen. After they left, okay, and then you come back to your regular service, where was that expectancy? Where was that enthusiasm? Looking for, we know something great and marvelous is going to happen. We didn't have that. Why didn't we have that? Because in our minds, and you don't have to admit this, but I have already admitted this, so I can say it. In our minds, we had already put Brother Bronk in a place that we are not. We came here expecting him to do certain things that none of us could do. Okay? And so, because we were expecting, because we were in tune with what God wanted to share last week, some nice, wonderful things happened. But you know what? If this is that, those nice, wonderful things should be happening every single day. Not just when we have a guest speaker comes in. This is that supposed to happen everywhere. And not just to Bronk. Okay? But to Bill, to Don, Martha, Donna. You are that. Okay? And that's why tonight we're going to look at a record that is very familiar to all of us, which is Acts chapter 3. And I titled it, sorry about that, Stephen, I titled the message, This Could Be Your Story. This could be your story. Okay? It's about Peter, but this could be your story. We're going to begin where? Acts chapter 2. Okay? In Acts chapter 2. Look at verse 41 in Acts chapter 2. And I'm going to put this here. And I want to point some things out as we read. In Acts chapter 2, verse 41, this is after Peter has given his initial sermon, and more than 3,000 have been added to the church. Okay? In verse 41, it says, Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common. and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. Verse 47, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as were being saved. Now, I read through these verses, okay? But there is a figure of speech in these verses. It's called polysyndeton. Polysyndeton simply means many ands. When you read a section of scripture and a clause is followed by and this, and this, and this, God is saying, I want you to slow down. I want you to pay attention to what I am telling you. Okay? I don't want you to rush through this. I want you to slow down. I want you to read it. I want you to meditate on it. Okay? So, let's go back. Then, verse 41, they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day that day there were added about 3,000 souls. Verse 42, and they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. God says, I want you to stop. I want you to think about this. Not only did they continue in the apostles' doctrine, but they were steadfast in continuing in the apostles' doctrine. They didn't let anything pull them off of the apostles' doctrine. And then he says, and fellowship. Not only did they have the apostles' doctrine, not only were they spending time in learning doctrine, they spent time with each other. And God said, I want you to see this. Pay attention to this. And in breaking of bread, not only in the Lord's Supper, and that's one of the things it's referring to, but in breaking of bread in general, having meals together. And then in what? And in prayer. Not prayer separately, but prayer together. Remember, this is the start of the church. Okay? So you see already God is saying, slow down and pay attention to what I'm telling you. And then in verse 43, and fear or respect, reverence came upon every soul. When did the fear and the reverence come? After they were continuing steadfast in the apostles' doctrine. After, okay, they were having fellowship. It's after the breaking of bread, after the fasting. Verse 43, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. You see that? Look at the progression here. The folks had to first of all get their doctrine right. And then they fellowshiped together. Remember you talking about this expectation of Brother Bronk? Okay? They fellowshiped together. There was an expectation that God was going to do some wonderful things. And so many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. Do you think the apostles could have done many wonders for signs and miracles if there had not been some faith in that place? No. Remember, what did Jesus say about when he went to his hometown in Nazareth? He could not do many mighty works. Why? Because of their unbelief or because of their lack of faith. Verse 44. And all that believed were what? Together. Together in what way? In their understanding of their doctrine, in their fellowshipping, in their prayers, in their breaking of bread. They were together. They were of like mind. Okay? They were of like mind and had all things common and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. God is showing us the attitude, the heart of the people when the church was starting. If we want to get back to this is that, we have to have that same heart. I'm not saying we got to sell everything we own and give it away. No, no, no. It's not about that. It's about having that heart. It's what we were talking about. And then verse 46, and they continuing daily with one accord in the temple. They were together with one accord in the temple daily and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meal with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as were being saved. Do you see that? Now, having that, the first verse of chapter 3 is now. Okay, now. There could have been no now for Peter and John without what we have seen in verses 41 through 47. Okay, so now, Peter and John went up together. Well, before I do that, I'm not going to read it, but another example of polysyndeton and many ands is in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. And it talks about add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge something else, and to something else something else. But you add it. And what God is saying, I want you to pay attention to what I want you to do. And you'll see this now that I have pointed out the many ands. As you start to read the word, you're going to see them in many, many more places. Verse 3, verse 1 of chapter 3. Now, Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. Now, we know that there were 3 hours of prayer in Scripture. There was the third hour, there was the sixth hour, and there was the ninth hour. 9 o'clock in the morning, 12 noon, 3 p.m. Okay? So this is the 3 p.m. What should catch your attention about this? Okay. Let me tell you what should catch your attention about this. Peter and John, they have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Okay? They have done signs, miracles, and wonders. And yet, at 3 o'clock, Peter says, whoa, John, whoop, we got to stop. It's the hour of prayer in the temple. According to what? The Jewish custom. It's the hour of prayer. We got to stop. Got to go to pray. The point I'm making is this. They did signs, miracles, and wonders, and yet they were not walking in the fullness of the revelation that was to come through Jesus Christ. You see that? Even though they were not walking in everything God had promised them, that Jesus had said was going to be available to them, they did many mighty signs and miracles. So my point is this. You don't have to be walking in the fullness of God's knowledge to do the signs, the miracles, and wonders. You don't have to be a Billy Graham, an Oral Roberts, a Jason Hamlin, a Bronc Flint, a Jim Martin to do the signs, miracles, and wonders. You can do that. You don't have to be one of them. God will use you where you are. There's only one ticket, folks, to get what God needs out of you. And it's called faith. That's what God requires. He doesn't require anything other than faith. So we see here in verse 1 that Peter and John, they still had some traditions they were working on. Okay? And see, their bear has issues he's working on too. Okay, I admit it. But I know that even though I have issues, God can still use me. He can still use me, even though I have issues. And no, we're not going to start numbering my issues. We'll be here all night, okay? God can still use me. Look at verse 2. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Now, the first thing that I thought about when I read this is hold your finger here and look at John chapter 9. In John chapter 9, here is a man who's never walked. He's lame from his mother's womb. In John chapter 9, verse 1, it says, and as Jesus passed by, he saw a man that was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin? That this man or his parents, that he was born blind. Okay? Now, in my mind, here I am seeing Peter. Peter's walking by this man, or Peter's walking, and they're bringing the man in to the temple. He's laying from his mother's womb. I can just see in my mind's eye Peter thinking about the man born blind. Okay? Because, see, they were taught that if you were born with a deformity or you were crippled or you weren't born normally, somebody sinned somewhere. It's either your mom or your dad sinned, or you sinned in your womb, in the mother's womb. How'd they come up with that one? Okay? So someone sinned somewhere. And you have to believe that this man who was born lame, blind, born lame from his mother's womb, he was thinking the same thing. There is sin somewhere, otherwise I would not be in this condition. And in my mind's eye, I see Peter thinking about what Jesus was telling him in John chapter 9 when he said, Jesus answered, neither has this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day, that the night cometh when no man shall work. Now, a lot of folks interpret that passage of scripture saying this man was born blind so that Jesus could come along and heal him. You know, I pray for ministers who get in the pulpit and make a statement like that, because that is not what Jesus is saying. The Bible that we have, King James added the punctuation. King James added the chapter headings, the chapter breaks, and all that stuff. That's why 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman of what? Of the word that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. In other words, if you're rightly dividing God's word, there's only one way to divide it. That word rightly dividing means a right cutting. There's only one way to cut God's word. And you have to be spending time with the teacher, the Holy Spirit, if you're going to find out how to cut it. Verse 3. Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, period. But that the works of God should be made manifest, I must work, okay, the works of him that sent me. What work did Jesus have to do? Heal the man. That was the work. That was the work. That's why he came. Remember Luke chapter 4, verses 16 through 19? What Jesus said, you know, when he read the scripture from Isaiah 62 about what he came to do, that was the work that he had to do. When you listen to the CD or the tape, if you do, pray. And you'll see God is going to open that up to you. Because, see, we don't serve a God who needs to create people who have issues so he can come along and heal them. We don't serve a God like that. I mean, if we served a God who created people who had issues just so long he could come and heal them, then I am a better father than God is a heavenly father. Because I would never do that to my children. And yet, we tell everyone that God does stuff like that all the time. Done with my rabbit trail, because I told Stephen this is going to be, I'll get all this in 60 minutes, so I got to stop and get back to this. In Acts chapter 3, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. Verse 4, and Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. Now, remember in Luke chapter 4, when Jesus announced his time for his ministry to start, he closed the book, and their eyes was fastened upon him, just like Linda's looking at me right now, eyes looking at me like, yeah, okay, what you gonna say next? What? Peter, he looked at this man. This man couldn't look nowhere else. He had to look at Peter, okay? He had to look at Peter. And then Peter gave him a command. He says, look at me. If we are that, then we should have the same confidence, the same assurance, the same boldness that Peter had when he looked at this man who was born lame. We should have that same confidence. That's what we're after. That's what we're after. But see, only Benny Hinn can heal. I'm just Barry. Just a little Barry. I'm not Benny Hinn. I don't have the gifting, the anointing of a Benny Hinn. I'm just Barry. I'll pray for you. But do I really expect to lay hands on you and for you to get healed? If I am that. I love reading scripture, but sometimes scripture really makes you see that this is where God sees you. This is where you see yourself. Scripture does that to you. And see, the key then is, Are you man enough? Are you woman enough to be honest to see yourself here and say, God, how do I get there? How do I get to the place where you see me? How do I get there? I'm willing to do whatever it takes. Peter and John had already done that. That's why they were that. Okay? If anyone who was not here for Bronk, you're saying, now, what the heck is he talking about? They were that. Because my kids say, she's all that or he's all that. Verse 4. So Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he, the man, gave heed unto them. What's the next few words? Expecting. Remember how when Bronk was here, we expected? The atmosphere, there was a charge about the atmosphere. That's the best way I can describe it. Because when you came here, you knew something was going to happen. Now, I don't wear my feelings on my sleeve, so you're not going to hurt my feelings. How many of you, you don't have to show your hands either, okay? When you got here tonight, you came in expecting something like you did with Brother Bronk. The issue is, see, I know Barry. I've heard about Brother Bronk, okay? So when he comes in, I got expectations. I see Barry. I know him. You see what I'm saying? And see, believe it or not, that's the same attitude that we as a congregation bring to our pastor. Oops. Stephen, can you erase that? But think about it. Do we have the same expectation of our pastor that we have of a Bronk Flint, of a Jason Hamlin, of a Gary Carpenter? No. Just be honest about it. And until we stop treating him like he's not their caliber, that he's not walking in the same spirit and anointing, that he does not have that ability to do that, then we are always going to treat him differently. Our expectation of what God can do through him is going to be different. The moment we start believing that the man of God who pastors this church has the anointing, the power, the authority to do everything that God calls him to do, we're not going to see the power, and then we're not going to see the miracles. We're not going to see the healings. It's not going to happen because of our unbelief. Yeah, I put it out there. Sue me. I put it out there because I'm in that too. I am in that too. We have to believe and expect that the same thing that Peter and John did, our pastor can do, we can do. If we don't, then we are letting God down. Verse 6, then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. And I'm going to go back. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Now, there are folks who said that Peter was poor, that he didn't have any money. He was broke as a rope, didn't have two nickels to rub together. When you go back and look in Acts chapter 2, verses 44 through 45, it says that no man had a need. No man had a need. So to say that Peter was broke and that's the only reason he didn't have any money to give to the person, it can't be accurate. It can't be true. Okay? And besides, you couldn't take money into the temple. So why would he need money? You can't take it into the temple. But see, the message in this, the real message is, Peter is saying, Mr. Lame Man, money is not what you need. Mr. Lame Man, I, Peter, have what you need. I, Wayne, have what you need. I, is it Jason? Jason, have what you need. You see that? Peter says, such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. You see that? See, Peter had that. Peter had it. Folks, you have it. You have it. Peter has had nothing that you don't have. But see, Peter had a relationship with God that you don't have. Because see, the deeper your relationship with God, the more faith you're going to have. And remember, God responds to one thing, faith. He doesn't respond to your money. He doesn't respond to prayer that does not have faith. See, faith is the hinge. Faith is the glue. Faith is the epoxy that allows us to grab hold of everything that God has for us. It's simple, faith. But see, it's so hard to get it. When we make it hard, faith comes by hearing the word. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing what? God's word. And see, when you're at home doing your daily Bible study, Bible reading, and if you're just reading it and you're not speaking it, no faith is coming. See how simple that is? See, your faith is dependent on you hearing God's word. Because the more that you hear God's word, the more it gets into you, and at some point it becomes you. Faith had become Peter, even though Peter was not walking in the fullness yet. He was still going to the temple the ninth hour to pray. So you know he wasn't walking in everything God had for him. But Peter says, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And notice what he did. Not only did he just say that, he reached down and grabbed the man's hand. "It's time for you to get up, buddy." Christians today are timid with their faith. And we're timid with our faith because we really don't believe if we step out on that limb, that limb is strong enough to hold us. Because we step out on that limb, we expect that limb to break. And Lord knows we don't want to be praying for someone and then saying, "Such as I have, give I thee," and we reach that hand out and nothing happens. Embarrassment up on top of embarrassment. We don't want that. But see, it's not the reaching out and nothing happening that's the issue. Because until your faith is where it needs to be, that's going to happen. But see, what God looks at is this. This person, Barry, is doing his best to take me at my word. So he's going to begin to work in Barry to get Barry to the point that when Barry reaches out the next time and says, "Such as I have, give I thee," it happens. But see, Barry has to be willing to make that first step. He has to be willing to make that first step. But see, we don't want to be embarrassed. We don't want to look like failures. How many people walked on water? Two. Jesus and Peter. The rest of the apostles were in the boat looking at Peter walking on the water. Why did Peter walk on the water? He got out of the boat. You can't walk on water if you're not willing to get out of the boat. You cannot heal somebody unless you're willing to stick your hand out and says, "I want to give you what I have." It's not going to happen. Peter got out of the boat. You have to get out of the boat too. If you want to walk in everything God has for you. And he took him by the right hand, lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he leaping up stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Verse 10. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. They knew who this man was. He had not walked, and you find out later in the chapter, for 40 years. That's how old he was, 40 years old. Verse 10. And they knew that it was he which sat at arms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which happened to him. Now, this word amazement, I'm a big Law and Order fan. And so I have seen enough Law and Order programs to know that when something traumatic happens, people are in shock. I mean, you're talking to them, and they don't respond because they're in shock. That's this word wonder. They were in shock. They couldn't believe what they were seeing. And this word amazement, what do I say in my notes this word amazement is? This word amazement, it means a throwing of the mind out of its normal state. Oh my God, I don't believe this. No. You know, their mind couldn't wrap their minds around seeing this man walking and leaping and praising God. They just couldn't do that. And Peter's watching this. And he's saying, okay, these folks are going bonkers. Okay? These folks are going bonkers. I need to bring some calmness to this before it gets out of hand. So look at what he does in verse 11. And as the lame man which healed held Peter and John, he wasn't about to let them go. All the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, "Ye men of Israel, why marvel you at this?" Peter, this guy has never walked, Peter. I've seen him. I come to the gate through this gate every day. He has not walked, Peter. And you're saying, why are we marveling at this? Peter's attitude was this. When he said, "Such as I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth," he expected it to happen. When you pray, when you minister, you have to expect that God is going to move all of heaven to make it happen. You have to expect that. God is depending on you to do that. You know, we keep talking about revival. Revival is not going to happen until we get to a point in our lives spiritually that when we say something, we expect it to happen. We expect it to happen. Why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us as though by our own power or holiness we made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob and the God of our fathers. See? Peter is still in the Jewish custom. He hadn't gotten over that yet. And yet, this man is leaping. He's walking. He's running. And Peter is still not walking in the fullness. Remember, God uses you where you are if you give him something to use. The God of our father Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob hath glorified his son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murderer be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, the Prince of Life, when God hath raised him from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. Now, verse 16 is where we're going to stop. And in his name, through what? Faith. In what? His name hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know, yea, the faith which is by him, by who? Jesus, hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. What did Peter say was the reason this man got healed? Faith in Jesus. Faith in Jesus. Who exercised the faith? Peter. What can we learn from this record? Your walk with God doesn't have to be perfect for him to walk through you, to work through you. God responds to faith. And then C, you must know who you are in Christ and what you have in Christ. Notice I bolded those. Now, turn with me to end this with Acts chapter 27, and I want to show you something. It's when I read this the first time, and you all have probably read it too, it just really stuck with me. Remember when they were at sea, the ship was going down, there was no hope, and then an angel visited Paul, and Paul says, "For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve." Paul says, "I belong to God. I serve God," saying, "Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God has given thee all of them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I what? Believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me." Okay? That it shall be even as it was told me. Paul made it very simple. He says, "I believe God." That was all it took for Paul. I believe God. Now, I want to end with a prophecy. Unfortunately for me, I was sick that day. A word came forth on June 1st, and Pastor gave it the title, "Living the Book of Acts." Now, the wonderful thing about this word I'm going to read to you is God had already laid in my heart Acts chapter 3, and then I was reminded about this, and I had not listened to it. So I listened to it this morning, and I transcribed it as I listened to it this morning. If you were here on June 1st, Sunday, June 1st, you've already heard it, okay? But I'm going to read it again, and I'm going to close it out by reading it again. For I have said in my word that I am God, and I change not. This means that the way that I did things in the early years of the church, the things that are recorded in my word, the things said and done by the apostles, and those instrumental in bringing about the reality of the church. For I birthed the church through my son Jesus. The apostles carried it on. I've never changed. The way that I do things has never changed. There have been changes in your technology, and like you, I have taken advantage of those changes. For you see, I have moved upon many, many people to spread my gospel through the use of the internet. But until the internet was brought about, I could not do this. But what I do has never changed. I am the same God today that I was in Acts chapter 1, in Acts chapter 2, chapter 3, and 4, and through the remainder of the New Testament. I was able to relate to man differently once the church was started. Prior to that, there was no one on earth to whom I could relate. They all had a sin nature. But now that my son made it possible for you to share my own life, I am able to relate to you differently, but I am still the same God. If you will take the time to read in my word, to read in the book of Acts the things that I did, you will understand how I desire to move even this day. Many have taught that the things of the book of Acts ceased because they were only there to get the church started. I say to you, this is foolishness. This is a deception of the enemy. Yet many of my children have brought it about, have bought into it. For again, my word says, I am God, and I change not. Therefore, the way I operated in the book of Acts is the way I will operate today. Now I want you to listen to this next sentence. The difference is this. I had vessels that were sold out to me in the book of Acts. I had vessels that were sold out to me in the book of Acts. Many of you think that people like Peter, John, James, Paul, and others were more special than you, or that I showed them greater favor than you. While it is true that I did use them as vessels through which to write the scriptures, and I used certain men through whom I was able to give my word, yet when it comes to ministry, when it comes to how I will use an individual in this life and in this world, you are no different from Peter or John or James or Paul or Timothy or the others. It is man who has separated the apostles in my word from the rest of the body of Christ. It is man who has made them greater than what they really are. Men are the ones who built statues to these apostles. I didn't. And I say to you, the reason so many of my children find it difficult to believe I can do things today that I did in the book of Acts is because man has changed me. Men like me have changed God by what we preach, by what we teach. But I have never changed. Man does not believe about me the way that the apostles did. And I do have some, even in this world today, who are operating in a similar fashion to the way the apostles operated. However, it is my desire to use all who are in my church to bring glory to my son. I have not singled out any of you to be greater than others, and I have not singled out you to be less than others. You are my children. I love you equally. Therefore, I say unto you, if, and notice the number of times he uses ifs in this word, if you will start to believe that the things you read about in the book of Acts can indeed happen today and can indeed happen through you. And if you will start pressing into me for the kind of relationship that Peter and James and John and Paul and others had, you can have the exact same kind of relationship with me and I will use you in great and mighty ways to bring glory to my son Jesus. What is he telling us? If you want to do the things that Peter, James, and John did, you have to have a relationship with me. Last paragraph. Many, and yes, I would say most of my church has lost this, but I say to you that in these last days it is being restored because there is a remnant rising up that truly believes my word and is pressing into that place of greater relationship. And I am going to be able to move through them and to do great and mighty works in these last days. But I would also say to you that I have not predetermined who can and who cannot be part of this remnant. I say to all of you who hear this, you can be a part of the remnant if you want. And then this next sentence just blows me away. I invite you to come into my presence. Allow me to work in you my perfect will, to bring about my perfect will. You can live in the book of Acts all over again, for I have not changed, but I will change you if you will let me, says the Lord. Was that a dynamite word or what? I'm telling you. So we are that. We may not be operating like that, doing everything like that, demonstrating the power like that, but we are that. The sooner we get it into our minds that we are that, the sooner we start walking out on that limb, believing that we are that, the sooner God is going to be able to anoint us so that we are functioning the way that is supposed to function. But see, notice the number of times in that word, if you will start to believe, if you will press into me, if you will allow me, it starts with us submitting ourselves, humbling ourselves in order for us to realize and to live in the life that God has called us to live in. Remember when I came up very first, I said, we are living in the time that God chose for us to live. We are living in the time where God can get the most out of us. But we have to give him what he needs so he can get the most out of us. This is our time. This is our time. This is our time.